On the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, the church has the tradition of celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family, and that's what we do in our church this evening. As I was preparing for the homily, I read some comparisons between a typical family in the past in our country with the family, typical family today. And one of the contrast I found very interesting was the fact that in 1902, more than 110 years ago actually, the typical family in the United States was a family of five children with a mother and a father, and actually grandparents living together on a farm in Ohio. That was a typical family of 112, 14 years ago. Today, the typical family, according to the statistics department, would be a single mother living with her daughter in Los Angeles. It's quite a contrast, isn't it? You know, a family of five with the grandparents being part of it to a very isolated family of single mothers raising her children by child by her one child by herself. But regardless of the sociological perspective on family life, the question that presents itself to us today in our celebration of the liturgy is, what is it that distinguishes a Christian family in the context of our society today? And we turn to today's scripture readings for help in understanding that. Because as we prayed at the beginning of Mass today, we're praying that our families today in the church will reflect the holiness of the Holy Family. What does it mean to be holy as a family in the 21st century? Our first reading today is from the Old Testament, from the book of Sirach. And this is a reading that talks about the relationship between children and their parents, which is at the heart of family life. The beginning, of course, of family life is the love of a husband for his wife and a wife for her husband. So the love of a couple is the beginning of family life. You know, it was interesting when I was thinking about this today that when I talk to young people who are getting married, they say things differently than they used to. I've been a priest for 40 years. And it's in the past, you know, 40 years ago, when you prepared a couple for marriage, what they were doing, they actually said it out loud, is they were longing to have a family. Today, couples, for the most part, don't talk that way. They talk about wanting to get married to each other, with family being kind of a secondary thought. And in the lives of many young couples getting married today, they actually put off the idea of having children at all. You can see there's just a very big change in the way people perceive the relationship of what we call a family. It's kind of moved from that group of children and parents and grandparents to a relationship between a husband and wife, and that's really at the essence of it, and that's really, in some situations, the only thing that it's about. It's not about children. But in the traditional Christian understanding of family life, family is always more than mom and more than husband and wife. It's always about husband and wife, but who are mom and dad. And the focus of family life is to have children and then caring in a responsible way for the children that you have. And that's what this first reading is all about. It says, God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons, inviting us to reflect on whether or not we have that loving relationship towards our parents, as we should. And this applies not only to us when we're in high school and in college and in living at home, but it also applies to us throughout our lives. You know, do we have an honoring and loving relationship towards our parents? Another interesting thing that I discovered in my reading preparing for this weekend was that one out of seven families, married couples in this country, have responsibility not only for their children, but also for their parents, which is really interesting. You know, I was surprised that that many of young married couples are taking care of their parents as well as their children. And that's a good thing, because those family responsibilities don't disappear when we turn 18 and 21 years old. They endure throughout our lives, that we have an ongoing responsibility to love and honor our mothers and our fathers, maybe especially when they get old. Just as they care for us when we are babies, I think it's important for us, from a Christian perspective, to understand our responsibilities to care for our parents when they're old and unable to take care of themselves. So do you do that? I mean, that's what we are talking about as we talk about Family Life Day. It's about concrete things. Do we love and care for our parents as we should? So think about that for a minute. And are you assuming the necessary financial responsibility for your parents if they need your help? The Lord always wants us to be concrete in our charity and not just theoretical. Of course, this reading also reminds parents of their responsibility for children. You know, the duty of being a parent is an extraordinary responsibility. I always have said and mean it that a parent, every parent who has a child does a lot more for the world than I'll ever do as a bishop for all my responsibilities for many families. Because those of you who are parents have an extraordinary responsibility for the children that you bring into the world. Not only to care for them and to educate them, but to train them to become good people, you know, to be good citizens of our country, but also be good members of the church. The church always sees a family as the first community of love and the first community of teaching. We refer to the family as the domestic church. It's in the relationship that we have with our parents and our children and with our spouse that we come to know, love and serve God and to become saints. You know, that's what makes a family holy, that they have responsibility and follow through on those responsibilities for one another. And so parents, think about your relationship with your children. And that relationship doesn't end once your children are 18 and 20 years old and move out of the house. Throughout their lives, they very much depend on you to give them good example, to love and care for them and give them encouragement in difficult times. And to call them back to Christ when they tend to fall away from Christ. The duty of being a parent doesn't end when children grow up. And so we ask the Lord to give us the appropriate kind of love for one another that we discover in these readings. Our second reading today is from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. And the part of this reading that I'd like to focus on for just a moment is the relationship between husbands and wives. In this reading, St. Paul says one of those controversial things in his writings that has led a number of feminists not to like St. Paul at all. This is what he says. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as is proper in the Lord. And then St. Paul says to husbands, husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness towards them. You know, the proper relationship of a wife towards her husband is subordination. What that means is you submit yourself in love to the other. Now, what this particular reading doesn't say is that in another one of his letters, St. Paul tells husbands to be submissive to their wives. You know, it's not just the fact that it isn't all set at one time in one place can sometimes mislead us. But the proper relationship of between spouses in a Christian understanding is mutual submissiveness, that they give themselves away in love to one another, and that's what marriage is about. Marriage is about self-gift, about giving yourself away without holding anything back. And to do that in an ongoing way and in a faithful way in the permanent relationship of which we call marriage. You know, in the Christian understanding of marriage is a sacrament, which means that we have the ability to look on the love of a husband for his wife in the Catholic Church and to discover in that love what Jesus' love for us is like. And I have the expectation that when I look on a wife's love for her husband, I'll also see in that love and that commitment the way that Christ loves me and the way Christ loves his church. So, you know, it's an extraordinary understanding of marriage. The Catholic understanding of marriage is an extraordinary thing, that it's the model or a sign of the love of Christ for his people in the world. The church sees marriage as a symbol of the love of the Holy Trinity. You know, in the life of God, the life of the Trinity, the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and the Father and the Son love the Holy Spirit, and that love pours itself in creation. You know, God gives himself away by creating the world in order to love the world. And in the same way, a husband loves his wife, and a wife loves her husband, and their love is procreative, creative, and flows out in the gift of new life, which are children. And so a family is the symbol of the love of God in the world, the love of the triune God in the world. Husbands and wives' love is a symbol of Christ's love for his church, and the love of a family is a symbol of the love of the Holy Trinity in the world. So husbands, be submissive to your wives. You know, give yourself to them. And subordinate your own interests to the interests of your spouse. Wives, love your husband in that same kind of way. And you should really compete with one another on who can be the most submissive, you know, who can be the most self-giving. And if you do that, it'll be a wonderful family life that you create for your children to imitate. You know, our families are the schools of love. It's we learn how to love by seeing the love that our parents have for one another. And, you know, as you serve the church as a priest for many years, you see that we generally imitate our parents when it comes to our own families. You know, parents who love deeply are the kind of parents that create children who can love their spouses deeply. And if our parents don't love each other very much, when we get married, we don't know how to love our spouse very much. It's extraordinarily important. Family life. Everything passes through the family. Everything that's important and valuable at all to us. Today's gospel reading brings up an issue that Pope Francis is very hot about these days. You know, one of the things he talks about as much as anything else is the importance of grandparents and the elderly. And today's gospel story is about two kinds of people that society today doesn't consider very important. The center of the gospel story is Jesus, the baby who's brought to the temple by his parents and offered to God, which is a symbol of your responsibility of parents to offer your children to God. You know that you don't own your children. They've been given to you as a gift, and you have a duty to bring your children up and to serve them and present them back to God. And that's what Mary and Joseph are doing in the temple. They're taking Jesus, the child, to the temple to offer him to God. And they meet Simeon and Anna, two old people who apparently don't have much to do because they're spending all their time in church. You know, that's what, when you're a pastor of a parish, especially one of the suburban parishes, one of the things you quickly learn is that the people who go to church on weekdays are the retired older parents, older people of the parish. And apparently that was the case back in Jesus' time, because both Simeon and Anna are spending a lot of time in the temple. And it's in the meeting of these old people with this little child that today's gospel story takes place. They become, the elder people, Simeon and Anna, become sources of encouragement for Mary and Joseph. And these elderly people are the ones who recognize who Jesus is, which is a lesson to us, that the people that we might not consider very important or significant in our own time, the people that are on the margins, the people that who sometimes feel they're not very useful, are the people that God chooses to work through. In today's gospel, it's a baby, the baby Jesus, through whom God comes to us, and these older people through whom God reveals who Jesus is. So it leads us to reflect a bit on our attitude towards the elderly and to the two grandparents. You might notice that the picture that we have for the World Meeting of Families, which is hanging here next to the bishop's chair, is not only a picture of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, the typical picture of the Holy Family, but in the background we see the pictures of the parents of Mary. Traditionally they're known as Anne and Joachim, the grandparents of Jesus. And the reason they're there is to remind us as we prepare for the World Meeting of Families that our families go much deeper than our mothers and our fathers. Our families go back in history to our grandparents and our great-grandparents and our ancestors through whom we have received the gift of life, and because of their love for one another, we exist in the world today. And it's important for us to love and cherish our grandparents and the elderly in our parish family community. And today's scripture readings ask us to remember to do that. So do you visit the elderly? If your parents or grandparents are in nursing homes, do you go to see them? This is a very difficult question, but is it necessary for your grandparents or your parents to be in a nursing home? Or could they be in your home? You know, we sometimes banish the elderly to nursing homes because they're a bother to us, or they banish themselves there. You know, my own mother didn't want to live with her children because she thought she would be a burden to them. But that's the best kind of burden, right? The burden of love is the best kind of burden, and we shouldn't see our parents or our grandparents as burdens, but as part of the living reality of our family, and we should love them and care for them and want them to be close to us. And in some ways, that's how a Christian family is different from other families. And we never see another person as a burden, but as an opportunity, right? And that we cherish the dignity of every individual, no matter how young they are or no matter how old they are. And we see that person as someone who's valuable, not just in a theoretical way, but who's very valuable to me because I love that person. Because she is my grandmother or he is my grandfather or my father or my mother. And I love them and I have responsibility for them. So Christian family life is different from the way other people might see family life. Unfortunately, we don't always live that way, right? We kind of tend to reflect and model our own family behavior after the behavior of the world around us rather than after the pattern of the scriptures. This morning in Rome, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, met with big families. There's an association of Italian families that you can't belong to unless you have at least four children. But they, apparently in Italy, having more than one children is not looked upon in a positive way by many of the people. And so these groups of families that have many children have formed an association in order to celebrate their family life, but also in order to ask the Italian government to help the society to respect and honor people who choose to have lots of children. We all know the joke about Catholic families. You can tell you belong to a Catholic family if there's lots of kids. Well, unfortunately, that's not the case today. You know, our Catholic families tend to pretty much look like any other family. But children are considered a gift from the Lord. And, you know, all those predictions about overpopulation seem to have all faded now. It was a great fear 20 and 30 years ago. People talked about, you know, population dangers. We don't hear that talk very much anymore. In fact, in our country, if it weren't for the new immigration into the country from the South, from Latin America, we would have zero growth, actually. Having children is part of God's plan. And having as many children as a family can manage and afford should be a Christian ideal, really, to love and cherish the gift of new life, which is part of family living. So we ask the Lord to give us a deep love for our families and that we might reflect upon the importance of family life, and we might look at ourselves to see if we could live family life more faithfully. We ask the Lord to help us examine our relationships with our grandparents and our parents, if they're elderly or sick, We ask the Lord to help us to be faithful to our marriages, and we ask the Lord to help husbands submit themselves in love to their wives, and the wives to do the same for their husbands. We ask the Lord to help us be holy families after the pattern of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And if we do that, the Lord will transform the face of the earth through our family life.